The Mike Missinelli Show.
Hey, yo. Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show.
Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly with Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's Mike Missinelli's show. Game night. It is game night. Football night. Philadelphia, and doesn't get any bigger. The greatest quarterback in history game in town tonight against the defending Super Bowl champions as well coming in. So if you're going down to the game, you're going to see something significant. Now, there are a lot of people that go down tonight and don't believe the Eagles have a chance, but are going down to see the greatest of all time. And I can't begrudge them that at all. I think it'll be a fun night. You go down and you get entertainment. All right? This is not a game that you thought they would win anyway. And I don't think they're going to win it. And I don't know how many people who think they're going to win it. Can they cover? I have no idea. I think the opposite is going to happen. And I think it's just going to be one of those games along the road to progress for this team. And I think they're in a bad spot tonight. However, they do have a couple of advantages. So let's look. Let's break down this game here. Because there are a lot of people out there that are saying, well, if you run the ball, you can stay in this game. Tonight is not the night to run the ball because the Bucs have the number one rushing defense in the NFL. They only allow 45 yards a game on the ground to better rushing teams. So I don't think that certainly you can't run between the tackles with Vita Vea there. He's been having a monster year. They run this 3-4 where their tackles and their ends disguise the tackles do a pretty good job. But here it is. I'm going to say it. I can't believe I'm going to say it. The Bucs cornerbacks stink right now on ice. They had assigned decrepit old Richard Sherman to be a starter for this team. And the other guy's a young guy. And Antoine Winfield is out at safety. And the Bucs, believe it or not, allow the most plays of 20 yards or more via the pass. So I cannot believe I'm saying this here. But the Eagles have to throw the ball down the field, and they have to, like, can Richard Sherman handle the speed that the Eagles are going to put out there? Now, I know they haven't been prolific except for Devontae Smith, but you got three burners now out there. I'm thinking you got to throw the ball longer than 20 yards tonight and get some big plays. The only way you're going to beat this team is if you get big plays. Maybe you get a turnover in a short field, but big plays to score some touchdowns. You got to keep up with this team. This team's going to score 30-plus points, right? So Sirianni thinking, you know, a couple games ago against Dallas that he had to keep up with him and score early. Now's the time he should probably think about that. In this game, he should probably think about that. And while it's going to be difficult for them to be consistent completing long passes, I believe this is what you have to do tonight. Now, where else they have an advantage is in the middle, where Hargrave and Cox can work over a couple of inexperienced guys. The center comes into the game as questionable, so he's not at full strength. And the guards, it's not a great offensive line for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I don't know what's going to happen. I think that you know, Bruce Arians has been carping about his pass rush. If he doesn't get a pass rush tonight, maybe the Eagles can throw the ball down the field. What do you think, Tyrone?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I actually think that it's an interesting night for me, for Sirianni, and for Hurts. I think you got to take the training wheels off a little bit. No more to just the short passes every time. No more. I think you got to give him the full offense. And then see if he can swim with it, because I don't think these guys can cover. Throw the ball downfield, deep outs, deep throws that you haven't asked them to make. Ask them to make them tonight. You got to find out if you can make them anyway. This Chiefs defense was bad. This defense, because of the run, isn't quite as bad. But I think against the pass, they're every bit as bad as the Chiefs were. To me, it's a given. Just pass the ball, try to push it downfield, and see what happens. And if Sirianni doesn't do that in the game plan, now this will be six games where I'm starting to wonder about him. Because that's where they're most vulnerable. And if you don't trust Hurts, then what the heck are you doing? Why is he out there? And if you make it possible for Hurts to make these plays and Hurts comes up short, then at least you know he came up short. But you got, I think you got to give the quarterback a chance to push it down.
I think you're absolutely right. You got to protect, first of all. Now, their line, you know, it's not in the best shape, but you got to be able to protect. And I believe that the Eagles, if they do have a mismatch, it's their speed against the secondary of what Tampa Bay is going to throw out there tonight. So we'll see if they do it. It seems to be a simple game plan when I look at the weaknesses and strengths of both teams. So, listen, I don't think they're going to win the game. I don't think it's going to be close, but I hope I'm dead wrong. And here's the thing. You can't lose going down tonight. And I've talked to five people already today. Their main motivation was not, well, I think the Eagles are going to pull this off tonight. All five people, five friends. I think you're going down tonight? Yeah. Well, I got to see the GOAT. So people are going down. They're swallowing their pride here, that Brady hate, and they're saying, you know what? If I get a chance to see this guy, maybe the last time I see him, he's the best quarterback in history. I got to be present tonight. Is that a violation to do that?
It's a giant violation.
It's a violation.
It's a giant violation. giant violation. You go down there to root on the Eagles, and that's it.
Yeah, but you don't lose.
You do.
Root the Eagles. That's your primary function. No, don't get me wrong.
But this is why you can't do it. Because if he plays, you get to see him. Unless you want him to throw seven interceptions, you're down there to watch him trash and thrash your team. No, that's a major violation. This isn't like watching.
It's not like you
Paul
have any
McCartney.
Control over that.
No. It's
you
not
don't
like
have any
watching.
Control whether he trashes your team.
No. But you're down there half rooting. Yes, you do. You're putting it in the air. What are you going to do? This isn't like watching Stevie Wonder before he passes or Paul McCartney before he passes or the Rolling Stones. This isn't the same as that. This is them coming in to destroy your team.
No, it's what it is that you can always say, I saw the best player ever played.
Exactly. No matter what, he's going to make big plays.
It's really as simple as that. You're not going down to root for him. But at the end of the day, when your team loses, you go, at least I got to see the best player that ever played that.
No.
Exactly.
No. No. That can't be part of the motivation. I mean, grown folks can do whatever they want. I mean, it doesn't matter. But
listen, man, you respect talent.
Of course, I respect talent.
You respect the best that play.
He's the greatest to ever play.
All right. Well, then if you get your eyeballs on the guy live, it's the best I've ever played. You can always have that for yourself.
Nah. You need to put that in your pipe and smoke it. What I need you to do, everybody headed down there, is be focused on the ruination of Tom Brady. For him to look like he's a bum. That's what you need.
Well, of course they're going to. But it's like high in the sky, man. Come on.
He's had many games in his life.
Listen, you're going to go down and you go, I hope the Eagles win. I hope he stinks. But at the end of the day, that's probably not going to happen. So you're left with a token. It's like, somebody gives you a coupon. On the way out. You got the coupon of you seeing Tom Brady.
I'm motivated for the Eagles to get a first-place schedule so they can play him again next year when the Bucs finish in first place and you see him next year. I'm not down there to root for nothing, Tom, not to see him, nothing. And I love Tom Brady more than I should, but I cannot co-sign this GOAT thing.
Oh,
no.
Well, there's nothing you can do about it at this point.
I love your integrity. He is what he is.
It is what it is.
Yeah, and he, right, it's kind of like Ben said.
For instance, I'm going to my friend's house tonight to watch the game, right? And one of my friends isn't there. He's going to be there. And so he texts me. He goes, hey, getting ready to go down to the tailgate. Wait, I go, you're not coming to watch the game with me? He goes, nope, got to see the GOAT. At least I got to see the GOAT. Now, this is a rabid Eagle fan, man.
See, I don't know. I mean, maybe he was, but I don't think he still is.
All right, let's see how people think. Listen, the people that are going down the game tonight, or people that are even watching the game, but primarily if you're going down there, you really don't have anything to lose. This is what I'm saying. Because you're going down there not with a full belief that they could pull this off tonight. You may have a little bit of a belief that an upset can happen, but you're going down expecting that this is not going to be a W. So you at least get a consolation prize that you saw the best, maybe the best athlete in the history of athletes.
I mean,
because football is that important to America.
Yeah, it's that important. He doesn't play defense, so it's tough to compare like a Jordan, because Jordan had to play both ends. But I hear that, and LeBron's greater than both. But the thing is, am I wrong for thinking, game-wise, that there is some pressure on the head coach and the quarterback? Not to win. Not to win.
But not to get smashed?
To look competent.
Listen, Vegas thinks that's going to happen. It's only a 7-point line. I think this is an easy 2.5 touchdown game, to be honest with you. But Vegas says 7. So maybe I'm missing something. Maybe something's in store tonight, Thursday night football in town, that the Eagles can really do something here.
Maybe. But I think that regardless, both Hurts and Sirianni, every week is part of the deal. Sirianni failed last week and he happened to win. Tim McManus talked about it yesterday. He failed last week. They just happened to win.
Yeah.
He can't fail again. And Hurts, his raw numbers look good, but we've seen what he hasn't done. This would be a good night, a great night, to see him make some of those throws this week that he missed last week, because that'll be telling not for this week if they lose. That'll be telling for the end of the season, because we can say, remember that game where he made X, Y, and Z throws?
Yeah.
He can make those throws. Now let's build around them. Versus, remember, he beat the Jets, he beat the Giants, but against the Bucks, he looked terrible.
So in honor of that, today, we're going to do fantasy selections. We're going to talk fantasy football today because Eric Carabell's on. He's on after we have the Hembostats. Maybe Hembostats will enlighten us a little bit on what the Eagles can do tonight. But the fantasy selections are this. You have to pick the Eagles to win, and you have to pick the play of the game involving an Eagle.
Ooh.
Okay.
So you can't, like, you know, we do this contest every final score. Who wins and play the game? You can only give me the Eagle version of that. And even if they lose, if you've got the play of the game or a close score, you're going to win a prize.
Now look at that.
I like it.
Look at that.
So I'm shutting out all Tampa Bay highlights tonight. Doing
good.
My
good.
Part here.
It's good.
You can't give me final score 35-13, Tampa Bay. You got to give me a final score, Eagles. And what happens in the game to make the Eagles that final score, hoping that it happens. And if it doesn't, even if you get close to the greatest play the Eagles have made in the game, you're going to get a prize.
I love it.
All right. Here's how you get in. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. It is a game. Tell me how you feel about this game, and tell me how you feel about seeing the GOAT. Mike Missinelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, let's bring in the man who can maybe make sense of this and give us a little optimism through his numbers. He, of course, is the content producer for the wonderful ESPN show, Get Up. He is the great Hembo. That's right. He's got stats you need to know. He's H-E-M-B-O. What's going on, Hembo?
I'm doing great, my friend. I don't want to give away the ending here. I woke up today not feeling so hot about this. I did all my research. I sent it to you. I try to make myself feel a little bit better. And my hope is that when I pass these numbers along, you at least turn the game on tonight, thinking that the Eagles have a fighting chance to upset the Goat.
Yeah, I think they have no shot. But that's beside the point. But your numbers still can make sense to the people who believe they have a chance, because there's a couple that are very optimistic. So let's get to it here. Now, one of the things that I talked about early was that the Buccaneers give up more 20 or more yard plays than anybody in the league, right? But you want to add a little something to that, because those plays could come via what?
They can come outside the pocket, too. And it is of my opinion, Mike, against, I mean, after doing the research here today, that Jalen Hurts should attempt a career high in passes outside the pocket tonight. And that, my friend, should be by design. And here's why. Todd Bowles' defenses struggle mightily against mobile quarterbacks. They rank 26th on those attempts this season and 29th on those attempts over the last two. And I think there's a couple good reasons, a couple obvious reasons why you want to roll Jalen Hurts out tonight. First of all, I think you have to provide him some easy answers, right? I mean, he's going to have to throw the ball, you'd think, 40 times tonight if the Eagles are going to have a shot to win, given how good that run defense is. And to split the field in half 8 or 10 times, I think makes a whole lot of sense to give him some easy reads. And secondly, that's probably his scramble game is probably the best bet that you have, at least early, in being able to gain a yardage on the ground. Like, obviously, you know, with how good this front is, I mean, they're allowing less than 3 yards a rush, the Buccaneers are. So, I mean, you might be able to run the ball in the second half against them if they're on the field a bunch, like by design. But generally speaking, I think if you can roll Hurts out and that provides opportunities for scramble, that's your best bet in running the football as well.
All right, so this is a Jalen Hurts night. Yeah, move the pocket, get him rolled out to the right. Maybe he can hit a big play off of that, or maybe he takes off and gets you 15 at a clip every now and then.
This is a Jalen Hurts game. I don't see any way in which the Eagles can get much out of their running backs through the run game based upon the matchup here. So, like, I guess what I'm saying is you can't hide the quarterback anymore. Like, he's going to be naked and vulnerable tonight, and we're going to get to see how much confidence Nick Sirianni has in him in his game planning and play calls. But it's very clear the Buccaneers are susceptible on the back end. Their secondary is in shambles and uncharacteristically of Todd Bowles' defenses. Right now, their application of pressure is on the low end, and they're not blitzing either because they don't trust the defensive back. The Eagles should be able to move the football against this team. If they're not able to, it will be an indictment on the play caller and the quarterback.
All right, now one of the more trustable elements of the Eagles has been Hargrave and last week Cox, that pressure up the middle, which a lot of people think flusters Brady. But that's not the case, maybe, again, in this game.
That you're exactly right. There is a convention, sort of conventional wisdom would suggest that Tom Brady struggles the most in his career, or recently at least, against interior pressure. And the numbers just say otherwise, okay? So I think the edge guys here are going to be the key tonight. With Tampa, so we're going back 2 years now, Brady has received pressure from edge rushers about 3 times a game when he wins, about 7 times a game when he loses. Well, however you choose to extrapolate those numbers, I found a much larger correlation between edge pressure than interior pressure when it comes to getting to Tom Brady. So I texted a friend of mine who played with Tom Brady 4 years and asked him why. What he told me was the reason Tom is not really bothered much by interior pressure is because his footwork is so incredibly sound. And so to sidestep Fletcher Cox or to sidestep Javon Hargrave or to sort of manipulate the pocket in that way is something that he's obviously very comfortable doing. What Tom Brady does not want to deal with tonight is pocket claustrophobia, I'll call it. So I think the edge guys are the key tonight in being able to sort of compress that pocket and make Brady less comfortable. If Hargrave or Cox go off, more power to him. But for my money, at least based upon the numbers that I looked up this afternoon, this is an edge game for the Eagles.
All right, so Sweat and Barnett have to be key tonight.
Massive, absolutely massive.
All right. Interestingly enough, Brady is older than the head football coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. And this usually plays in Brady's favor when these young whippersnapper coaches take the helm against them.
To say the least. History is not kind to guys like these in situations like these. I'll go back 5 seasons. I'll give you 5 seasons of data here. Tom Brady's teams are 16-4 against the spread when playing a team like this. A team whose head coach is coaching in one of his first 25 games in that role. I'm giving you a season and a half. When Brady plays a team in which their coach is coaching within his first season and a half, he's 16-4 against the numbers over the last 5 years. And he's 6-1 with the Buccaneers in games like that. I'm not cherry-picking stats to sort of make him look better when he was with the Patriots. This is just a thing. I mean, we all know that Tom Brady knows infinitely more about football than our coach Nick Sirianni. Of that, there is no surprise. And there have been very few recent instances of a young head coach being able to get this guy. I suppose that should be no surprise, and I guess it shouldn't be no surprise also, Mike, because anytime you get a new head coach, your team's probably, you know, he inherited a bad team. So That's why I wanted to use the against the spread number and not the straight up number. This is not a good bet historically if you're an Eagles fan.
All right, let's get to the football power index, which is kind of in the same ballpark as Vegas with the 7-point favorite. Football power index makes the Eagles a little less likely to win than Vegas.
Yeah, so these are close, but FPI says the Eagles have a 71% chance to lose. The Bucs have a 71% chance to win. That equates to a 7.5-point underdog. Obviously, if you're betting the game tonight and you can get that 7.5, then more power to you. According to our model, the Eagles are less likely to win this game than any other game remaining on their schedule, which I suppose also is not a surprise when looking at it. But obviously, it could be a huge swing game because our model really isn't building in this as much of a possibility. Eagles win this game. Our model says they have about a 1-in-3 chance to make the playoffs. Now, I don't know if you're thinking playoff thoughts or not. Obviously, the fourth quarter last week against Carolina made me feel a good bit better about where this team is headed. I mean, look, should the Eagles win tonight, I would be flabbergasted, to be candid. But right now, Vegas and FPI see this thing pretty much similarly. I think the Eagles have something like a 1-in-4 shot, maybe a 1-in-3 shot if you're being optimistic.
All right, now let me leave you with this because we've been debating this during the show.
Yes,
tonight, I look at this game like, okay, Eagle fans will probably take the L because they expect to take the L, but they benefit with kind of like a non-fungible token of sorts, seeing the GOAT maybe one last time.
Sure, I mean, anytime Tom Brady plays a game now, it is an extraordinary opportunity. Like we're watching Tiger Woods at the height of his powers. We're watching Wayne Gretzky. We're watching Michael Jordan or Babe Ruth. And the difference between him and all those guys is that he is as old as he's ever been, obviously, and better than he's ever been, which is extraordinary. Tom Brady, what he is doing now is something we are actually underrating. I spent an hour this afternoon trying to find one note. Mike, one note about what the Eagles defense might be able to do against him to slow him down at all. And the best I have for you was that garbage edge stat that I just gave you 2 minutes ago. Like, there is nothing. He is good at every single thing right now. And it's just a matter of how long his body holds up. So, yeah, the national audience, obviously, the opportunity to see the Eagles tonight, too, is also a thing. I think what you'll see tomorrow on a lot of the national talk shows is a lot of talk about Jalen Hurts. So on our show tomorrow, there will be a lot of Jalen Hurts conversation. This is a big game for him just because there are a lot of fans around the country tonight that are going to see him play that have not since he played in college. And that's a big deal. So, I mean, look, this is an audition for him as much as it is an opportunity for Philadelphians to catch Brady for one last
time. All right, do me one last favor. I know you're worked out today, but I just got a note on Twitter that Brady is 0-6 against the spread in his last 6 primetime games. Can you check and see if that's correct?
I sure can.
All right, and send me a text on that because that would seem to be hard to believe.
It could be, but you know, you like, I know better than anyone. You can cherry pick whatever stat you want.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Always a pleasure. He's Hembo. Yeah. Well, there you go.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, let's bring in the man. He gives us fantasy football advice every week. That's why he is the man in fantasy football for ESPN.com. And Jen, Eric Carabel is brought to us by
Family and Company Jewelers. If you're thinking about getting engaged, visit Family and Company Jewelers for your fantasy engagement ring. Family and Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination.
All righty, without further ado, let's bring him in. A lot of people are depending on his advice. Eric Carabel. Hello, Eric.
Hello, Mike. It's a big day.
It is a big day. So let me get right out of the chute. You like Jalen Hurts in the game tonight for numbers?
I do. I think every week. I mean, they never run the ball. So, I mean, how could Jalen Hurts not put up big numbers unless they're just going to be a terrible offense? And they're not a terrible offense. So I think Jalen Hurts, because he runs for 50 yards a week, because he's going to be throwing a lot tonight, they're going to be trailing in this game. Tom Brady's going to do whatever he wants tonight. So Hurts is going to have to keep up. They refuse to give Miles Sanders enough touches. So, yes, Jalen Hurts is a very good play tonight. He's always a top 10 quarterback in my rankings, and he should be again tonight. Brady is a little bit of a better play, though, because he gets to face our defense. So let's face it. And then there's obviously wide receivers in play here. All three of Tampa Bay's wide receivers are in play tonight against Philly's defense, unless the Eagles get a good pass rush. And even if they do, Brady gets rid of the ball so quickly. Zach Ertz, you can make a case for as a top 10 tight end tonight because Goddard's out. But the running backs, no running backs tonight make my top 20.
Is Brady your number one QB this week?
Oh, no.
No.
I mean, Brady doesn't run the ball. So, I mean, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, basically every week one of them is number one and then the other is number two. But you can make a case for Brady right after that because I think Herbert has Baltimore this week. Kyler Murray has Cleveland. Those are tough matchups. So I can make the case for Brady as a number three quarterback, but he's an elite play. I mean, he gets rid of the ball quickly. He's accurate. Even with the thumb injury, he's going to put up numbers tonight. Hurts puts them up in a different way, though, and you can count on Hurts in fantasy.
Okay. All right, let's get to some questions right out of the way here. Ed wants to know, he's got a quarterback situation. Derek Carr or Geno Smith all of a sudden comes into play.
Yeah, all of a sudden, Geno Smith is Seattle's quarterback. It's not going to be pretty. I actually have Geno Smith one spot ahead of Derek Carr because of who they're playing. They're both road games. Pittsburgh, I think, the better defense, and that's why, to me, I mean, Derek Carr in Denver seems like it's going to be bad. And what's going on with the Raiders this week kind of scares me, or away from their fantasy options a little bit. This is not the kind of situation where Raiders are going to step up and put up huge numbers. It's the kind of situation where they get blown out. So I would try to avoid Raiders.
All right, B. Gold, is it time to bench Allen Robinson?
Yes, their quarterback play is awful. And what's worse than that is, you know, you think the Eagles are doing a bad job calling plays? Check out the Bears, everybody. That's embarrassing. I mean, at least the Eagles let their quarterback run. Bears aren't doing that. There's no Bears right now that you can count on. So Allen Robinson this week against Green Bay, even at home, not a very good play at all. Even Devonta Smith of the Eagles would be a better play tonight.
Joshua, should I drop Odell Beckham for T.Y. Hilton?
I think in a general sense, you can drop Odell Beckham. I don't know what people are waiting for here. He wasn't good the last couple of years in Cleveland. They don't throw the ball enough. But I wouldn't do it for T.Y. Hilton. You want to trust Carson Wentz here? No. I mean, yes, he was good against Baltimore. But I do not want to trust T.Y. Hilton, who can't stay healthy. There are other wide receivers out there that are better options than both of these guys. And they're just sitting there for you to pick up. But I don't think Hilton's that good.
So Carson Wentz did not move you coming off that 400-plus performance.
You know what doesn't move me? The fact is that I can't tell you that he's going to play in more than 10 or 12 games this season. He is still a huge injury risk, and they have no backups there. So the fact that he played well in one game against Baltimore, hey, good for him. He couldn't close it, but I still worry about this first-round, second-round pick, and he's not going to play enough this season. He can't stay healthy.
All right. Tomas needs you to pick him a wide receiver and a flex amongst Chase Claypool, Brandon Cooks, Hunter Renfro, Darrell Williams.
So Darrell Williams, obviously, is a running back who's going to get a lot of touches this week. I think you can make a case for him as number one option here because Cooks, obviously, at Houston, Renfro, a slot guy. The first option here would be the running back. Second option would be Claypool. They just lost Juju Smith-Schuster, which gives more targets, in theory, to Claypool there. So I would say he's second on the list.
All right, James wants to know, should you go with Swift or Madison with Dalvin Cook expected to rest one more week before the bye week?
I don't think it's assumed that Cook is going to rest. I think they want him to play, but I still like Swift a little bit more. Swift's really good, for one, and he's starting to get more touches, and Jamal Williams is also not practicing every day this week. So to me, Swift is still the better play than Madison is, but yes, if Cook definitely sits out, Minnesota's at Carolina. Carolina does a very good job against the run. You couldn't tell against the Eagles because we didn't try, but I think Swift over Madison is the play if Cook sits.
Gregory, Russell Wilson's hurt. Trey Lance is on the bye. I have a choice of either Trevor Lawrence or Geno Smith.
I think it's still Trevor Lawrence there. I don't really trust Jacksonville's offense very much, but he can run a little bit, and I think he's got some nice weapons there. So, I mean, Geno Smith, I think they just want him to not make mistakes. Trevor Lawrence, they're willing to make mistakes, but I think he's a better shot for a bigger game. And Miami's terrible, too. So I think the matchup suits Lawrence.
All right, let's go in-house questions here. Jamal Williams or Pollard this week?
I mean, if Williams plays, I mean, he's getting double-digit touches a week. With Pollard, you're just hoping he breaks a big one. He's getting plenty of touches as well. But I think, generally, if Jamal Williams is going to play, he's the one I want.
All right, is McKissick a good waiver wire pickup is an in-house question.
Yeah, I mean, he gets his catches every week. There's a bunch of running backs like that. Naheem Hines. Mm-hmm. These guys get 4 or 5 catches a week. Maybe they break one. McKissick, I mean, they don't want Antonio Gibson on third down, Washington, for some reason.
I'm sorry. Jen really needs some help. She's really struggling. She's fretting. Jen, what's your question?
Hey, Eric. So keeping in mind that McCaffrey's just sitting on my bench, Zach Moss starting. I have Miles Sanders or Kenny Gainwell tonight. I know you don't like
Eagles. I mean, I
don't have another choice.
Well, I'll say this for the Eagles. Like, tonight, they're playing also the best run defense in the NFL by far. Tampa Bay with Vita Vea in the middle of that line. They're not going to be able to run. I think they're going to throw a lot of screen passes. And they did do that with Miles Sanders last week, finally. They let him be the receiver. So I would play Sanders over Gainwell, but neither one of them made my top 20. I'm sorry. I McCaffrey, it's not looking good for this week.
Yeah, thanks, though.
All right. A. Robinson, should he start Jalen Hurts or Dak Prescott this week?
I think Hurts. Dak's not running at all. So I think Hurts runs. He has to run. He's running for his life half the time. But Hurts over Dak, yes, most weeks I'm actually doing that. I'm ranking that way.
All right. Tight end question. Schultz or TJ Hockenson?
You know, Hockenson has been a little bit hurt, and his quarterback can't throw the ball downfield at all. We still rank Hockenson ahead of Schultz. You're just hoping for a touchdown here, and it's kind of a guess. But I would personally play Hockenson. He's very talented, and they have no wide receivers, whereas Dallas has 2 or 3 wide receivers and a running back to throw to. Detroit does not have that. I stick with Hockenson.
All right, interesting question here. A couple of veterans. Antonio Brown or Amari Cooper for his WR2?
Yeah, we have them ranked like 21st and 22nd, so that's kind of a flip a coin there. The issue would be, I do think the Eagles defended well last week against the pass. They weren't facing a good quarterback. In a general sense, I would play Amari Cooper. This less option. Tampa Bay's got 3 really good wide receivers. So I would play Cooper, but you can make the case either way.
All right, Mark. Quez Watkins or Tyler Lockett, even with Russell Wilson being out?
Yeah, it would take a lot for me to trust Quez Watkins over Tyler Lockett. I mean, Geno Smith will get the ball to his receivers. So to me, Lockett's not a top 20 play, but he's certainly a better play than Quez.
All right, my man Dustin is undefeated so far in fantasy football. Ooh. But he needs some help this week in his flex. T. Higgins or Marcus Brown, or Mike Williams?
Well, Mike Williams is a top 10 wide receiver now. I mean, Justin Herbert is a monster. The Chargers move the ball. I rank Mike Williams in my top 10. Higgins and Marquise Brown don't make my top 20.
Quarterback he needs, Mayfield or Herbert?
Oh, Herbert's a top 5 quarterback every week now.
Okay. Hurts or Stafford?
Hurts. I mean, Stafford's doing fine. Stafford and Aaron Rodgers always end up in the 9 to 11 range of quarterback, but Hurts always ends up 6 or 7. I mean, he runs.
All right, and finally, he needs a bye week replacement. Mike does. Does he start Devontae Booker or Zach Moss?
I think it's Booker. You know, he catches passes. I mean, Buffalo's goal line option is their quarterback anyway. So to me, Devontae Booker, we're not going to see Saquon the rest of this month. Devontae Booker is an excellent pickup. He's the number one pickup of the week. And I don't expect big numbers in a tough matchup, but I still think he's going to get plenty of volume this week against the Rams.
All right, sounds good. I think that completes the mission here in fantasy football. Only thing left is the big EK prediction for tonight.
It's hard to pick them to win. I do think they can cover. I think Hurts keeps them close, but something like 30-27. I think they can cover with a late.
Oh, you like the cover?
I do like the cover. It's a big line to me.
Backdoor cover. 30-27 backdoor situation.
I'll go with that.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, Eric. We appreciate it.
Go Eagles.
Eric Carabel joining us every Thursday of Fantasy Football Knowledge. And Jen, he's brought to us by
Family and Company Jewelers. If you're thinking about getting engaged, visit Family and Company Jewelers for your fantasy engagement ring. Family Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination.
All right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.